from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Talk a little bit this morning about something that we all fall into from time to time. And a little bit of a warning, I guess, as the scriptures I'm going to read, to be careful that we do not fall into that trap of murmuring and complaining. Brothers and sisters, I know we struggle from time to time. Sometimes they seem like little things, sometimes they're big things. And yet I know that the Lord has continued to bless us throughout our life. So we got to be very careful of this. I'm going to go through a few events that happened in the book of Exodus real quick. And then I want to have us turn to Numbers chapter 13. But I want you to think. I want you to think for a second of our own situations and the difficulties that we have. And how many times that the Lord has been blessed. Has blessed us in this life, and have we responded properly through our lives to him? I want to go back to Exodus for a minute, and I'm just going to talk about Moses. And we know that he brought the Israelites out of bondage from the Pharaoh after 430 years, brothers and sisters. 430 years they were in bondage. So Pharaoh gets them out. And they're on their way, and they're traveling across the desert, and they come to the Red Sea, and they were going to begin to camp, I suppose, and settle back and try to figure out what they're going to do. And then all of a sudden they look behind them, and they saw Pharaoh's great army, because right after they left, even though Pharaoh said that he wouldn't bother them, you know what? He directed his army to go forth and destroy them. So now they see this big army coming. Even though they were in bondage for 430 years, they began to murmur. They began to complain. Here come the soldiers. What, you just came and got us out of their hands so that they can destroy us and now kill us when we could have had food? We had life. Yes, it was hard, but we were alive. So they started complaining. So what does God do? Moses goes to God and God says, we're going to take care of this. Gives Moses a few instructions. Moses raises his hand, and the Red Sea begins to part. And the Israelites are able to go across that Red Sea, that path that was made before him. And they get all the way to the other side. And then as the soldiers are coming right behind them, the water begins to cover them and stop them from being able to get them and destroys the soldiers that were after them. And the people are happy. They're praising and glorifying them on the other side of the Red Sea, because the Lord blessed them. But you know what? It didn't take too long. And they began complaining again. We don't have no food. I'm hungry. This life is too hard. We have to make camps. We have to move. We have to do all these things. Moses goes to God again. And God sends them manna from heaven. And what would you know? The people are all happy again. Thank you, Lord, from on high, for blessing us with this food. Once again, it didn't take long. They started murmuring. They started complaining. Manna's not enough. We know you got us out of Israel after 430 years. We know you got us past the Red Sea so the soldiers couldn't get us. We know you fed us manna, but that's just not enough. We want more. So Moses once again goes to the people, goes to the Lord. Because the people didn't want just manna, they wanted meat. They wanted something, substance to eat. So God sends a wind across the sea, and it brings in a bunch of quail, and sets them quail right down before them. And they're going crazy. They got dirt. Praise the Lord, we got quail to eat. And they're grabbing up as much as they can. But when God sent those quail to those people, he was not happy with them already. He was becoming very discouraged with his people because he kept blessing them on the way and they kept murmuring. God wasn't happy. They continued to complain so much after that, that even that which the people he was trying to save, he sent a plague to be upon them. And many of them died. You know, Moses himself questioned, Lord, why are you putting me in charge of these people, these people that are wicked in their thoughts? All they do is complain all the time. They're so needy, if you will. And they're very ungrateful. And they're not looking back at what they've been given. They're only looking at where they're at right now and complaining. So things once again begin to calm down. And they're settled in the wilderness of Paran. The wilderness of Paran, which is very interesting, it's by the Red Sea, and it's around the area of Saudi Arabia, where Ishmael, which is very interesting. Now remember, there's a lot of wars going on there between the Israelites and the Palestinians. This is closer to the Palestinian side, actually. That's where Hagar's son Ishmael, Hagar and Ishmael were exiled to that same place. And that can be found in Genesis chapter 21. So it's interesting how that place kept getting used. But I always wondered, because even though that was Abraham's firstborn, it wasn't from Sarah, and it wasn't the one that was blessed, as Isaac was, to go forth and bring the people in. But nonetheless, he said that he would become a great nation as they were forced out into the desert. I want to go to the book of Numbers, starting at chapter 13, and I want to see how things are going on now. Things have settled down a little bit. They've been hanging out around in the desert, Paran, the wilderness of Paran. And the Lord speaks to Moses. And he says, Moses, I want you to send some men. In fact, I want you to send one man from each tribe. And this can't be just a man. It has to be one of the men that are in charge and highly esteemed, that are looked up to by the rest of the tribe that they're in. And so Moses goes and he grabs one of the men from every one of the tribes and says, listen, this is what I want you to do. In verse 3 it says this, and Moses by commandment of the Lord sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those men, heads of the children of Israel. And it goes through and lists their names, one from every tribe. But I want you to kind of look at the two names specifically, Caleb and Joshua. Those are the two names we're specifically going to remember, okay? 2 out of 10. And Moses, he sends them into the land of Canaan and said unto them, this is in 17, get you up this wayward and go up into the mountain. And he's saying, these are the things I want you to look for. And he's going to give them a list. He says, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or whether they be weak, whether there's few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it is be good or bad, and what cities they dwell in, whether they be tents or they be strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage. I thought that was such a thing that he told him, be of good courage as you go forth, because they're doing the Lord's work by commandment. And bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So these guys, they all go up and they search in the land. And they're going up through the wilderness, up into the mountains, down a little bit to the lower altitudes. It lists the different places that they're searching in 22. And they come to a brook in 23 called Eshcol. And they cut down from thence a branch which had a cluster of grapes. And it was, they make it sound like it was just big, like fruitful, like bounty of the land. And they take these grapes and they bear it between two staff. So these guys are carrying these grapes now, one in the front, one in the back, and they got a staff in between them. And they're carrying this. And then they, as they're going through, they put pomegranates on there, they put figs on there, and other things that they brought from the fruit of the land. And they called the place Eshel because it was a cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned after 40 days. Remember that number, 40 days. They returned back unto Moses and unto Aaron. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness. Now they have Moses and Aaron are there, and all the congregation, they've all gathered around from the wilderness of Paran that they're in. And they brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land where they were and the things which they brought back. And they told him and said, we came in unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now, if you look back and you find out the children of Anak, they were known as giants. They were very big guys. And they figure that that's probably where Goliath came from. So you can remember what happened with David and Goliath, right? Goliath was this big guy. And nobody would go against him. They were all afraid. So they're afraid of these people. He's telling them this. He's not saying not to go, but he's just telling them about the land. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, which they had problems with, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of the Jordan. These are all people that have had difficulties with them, okay? And Caleb, remember the word, name Caleb, he stilled the people because they started thinking. They're starting to talk. And he stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him, the other ten, we'll leave Joshua out right now because he's going to be one of the two, we'll find out later. We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Who sent them into that land to check it out? God? Moses told them what God told him. So God's the one that sent them into that land. I want you to think about that. And they brought up an evil report of the land, these other ten, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which thou have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we're in our own sights as grasshoppers. They thought themselves being very small. Were they forgetting that God had sent them again? I want to remind you of that. Chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses. They were complaining against Moses and Aaron. And what did Moses and Aaron do? What did Moses do? He directed them through commandment of what God gave them in the first place. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt? Or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Now they're whining because they want to go back to Egypt because they thought they had it better. They're even in bondage for 430 years. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Moses and Aaron were beside themselves because the people were all murmuring now. They didn't listen to two, they listened to the ten. Okay? And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of that which searched of the land, rent their clothes. They're just beside themselves also. We saw what was there. We know that the Lord sent us, is what they're thinking. And they were just irritated by the complaining of all the people wanting to go back to Egypt and be in bondage again. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. The Lord delighteth in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. They trusted in the Lord. They knew that no one could fight against the Lord in a battle that the Lord put them forth and win, but that they would be stronger than the others. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Quit complaining. The Lord has set us on this journey. He has made our way for us. Have faith that he will show us through. And all the congregation bade stones. He started stoning them. They had already made a decision. We'd rather go back to Egypt. And the glory of the Lord at that time appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, he's shown them everything. He's blessed them abundantly, and still they lack. Which is wickedness against our Father in heaven. I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. He's talking to Caleb and Joshua. I'm getting rid of all them. I'm tired of this. And you're going to now carry on the blessing. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it. Now listen to the reasoning of Moses. Very interesting. It's almost like we were talking earlier. If there's only one, will you please not destroy Sodom? And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people. That thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standest over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in the nighttime by a pillar of fire. Now if thou shalt kill this people as one man, then the nations which have heard this fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. Pretty logical sense that Moses was bringing forth at that time. Lord, you've blessed them. All the people know that you blessed them. And now if just because they didn't do what you said they were going to do, now you're going to kill them all? Good question Moses had. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because of those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened unto my voice, surely they will not see the land which I swear unto the fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me to see it. So those guys that came back, that gave a bad report. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whitherto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelled in the valley, okay, not too far away. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do it to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Now we're putting an age on it because the younger ones didn't have it. They weren't knowing exactly what's going on. 20 and older, they know. Which have murmured against me, doubtless ye have not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb and the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, now listen to this, but your little ones, you're not coming in, but your little ones, those that are under 20, which ye said should be as prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. They're going to be able to tell the people later. We made it to this promised land. Our parents did not. Our grandparents did not. Because they were disobedient. And they lacked in faith. And they became wicked in their own ways. But as for you, the children will be brought in. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities for 40 years. And ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. And that's what we need to realize. They were against the Lord by not being obedient and not being faithful. They actually were being against the Lord. So that's where we have to be careful in our thoughts and our complainings and our murmurings. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search of the land, lived still. And Moses told these things unto the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly because they had recognized what had happened. And they rose up. Now, listen to this. The Lord has already said something. He said, you know what? You're not going into the promised land. You guys have murmured against me. You've caused great distraction within the group, the congregation. But still they said, hey, he's been giving us all this opportunity. 10 times, in fact. Let us rise up early in the morning and get up to the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we are here, and bring us to the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. In other words, forgive us. And Moses said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you. He's not with you anymore. You guys messed up. Remember the scripture that says that God will not, his spirit will not always dwell with men? This is one of those circumstances. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye may not be smitten before your enemies. See, Moses is trying to warn them. Don't do it. The Lord is not with you. You don't have that strength now. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up to the hilltop anyways. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant and the Lord and Moses departed out of camp. But those that went up the hill The Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites, which dwelt in the hill, and smote them, and discomforted them, which means chase them away, even unto Hormah, which is another area in that area. So they decide they're going to go up there anyways, because the Lord's going to, with his mercy. I worry about that in today's world, because continually we are blessed, and continually we do the wrong thing, and we continue to go back to him, thinking he's going to continue over and over and over and over again to bless us. And we know that sooner or later the day will come when enough is enough. It makes me think about Zion and our need to realize that the battle, it's the Lord's battle. We're workers. We're here to help. We're here to be servants. But his purposes are going to go forth. But we have to listen to him and realize that it's his battle. It's bigger than us, brothers and sisters. It's not nothing we can contain ourselves. It's in the Lord's hands. You know, Reverend Billy Graham once said, God created us that we might know him and love him, trust him, and have fellowship with him through our service to him. Why is it so hard for us to understand this? Why do we forget so easy? Why does he have to chastise us? I want to share an example of God's creation. And I've been, Judy knows about this because it's been going on this last month at my work. We are the only ones that do whatever we want. With man's intelligence, we think we know better, and we want to change things all the time. I want you to, this is just a perfect example of God's creation doing what it's supposed to do. So at the beginning of the month, there was a goose. And this goose came and made a nest right by the light post in the middle of the parking lot, right where I park, right next to me. And I thought, man, this is really weird. And then I went out, I saw it in the morning, and I went out at lunch, and I remember seeing that goose, and that goose was picking up bark nuggets when it could have been over in that plush grass just a few feet away, picking up these bark nuggets and making a nest. And I thought, that's crazy. That's not a good place to make a nest. But then I started looking and thinking, this goose can, from that spot, see everything around and keep watch day and night. Each day, she continued to fix up her nest. For 5 days in a row, she laid a new egg. I had to go online and look this up because I didn't understand what was going on. So, what, we got a chicken here? They can lay up to 20 eggs, I found. Mostly it's around 5 eggs. She laid 5 eggs. And after she laid them 5 eggs and began for the last time plucking some of her own feathers out, think about it, stuffing them under her to keep those eggs warm now because she knew she was done, she sat on that nest for the next 25 days. Only time I think I seen her get up is to maybe stretch her legs. So I looked into that. They don't eat during that next 25 days that they're laying on the nest. I named her Susie, by the way. And I talked to her every morning and said hi and asked the Lord to protect her. She sat on that nest. She remained steadfast and immovable. Do you remember what the weather was like in the last few weeks? Snow, sleet, 25 degrees at night. She didn't move off that nest. She remained steadfast, immovable in her ways, as we should be in our faith. Okay? The outcome, at the end of that Wednesday, she had her babies, all 5 of them. And I was sending video to Judy. They were hiding up underneath her wings, and then they were out playing, and they finally made it across the parking lot to the pond. She did exactly what she's supposed to do. And she had 5 beautiful babies. She didn't talk back to the Lord and say, Lord, it's raining out here. It's sleeting, it's snowing, I got ice on my feathers, I'm trying. No, she did what she was supposed to do. That's the way we're supposed to be. And the reward will be great. We're gonna have our times where we do complain. I do myself, sad to say, from time to time. We are imperfect. But I watched that goose do everything that it was supposed to do, and what a blessing it was. And it was a blessing to me because I couldn't stop watching the little ones run around. And I thought, what a miracle that was. Let us find ourselves remaining steadfast in our faith, not wanting all the time, not complaining about things, little things, big things, whatever. The Lord is with us, and we want him to stay with us always. After all, I think we can agree that we've all been blessed. We're here today, and the Lord continues to bless us. We need to call upon him always and talk to him. Remember, God separated 12 men, only blessing two of them and their families and their generations. Why? Because of lack of obedience and lack of faith. Let us not be like the 10 that were left behind. Let us be faithful kingdom builders for our Lord. And you will be blessed, you and I. We work together on this, just as we work together in our class to try to have that understanding that the Lord wants us to have. Look back and count your blessings, brothers and sisters, because they are many. And although we struggle sometimes from day to day, the blessings, if we trust, are just overwhelming. Look to the Lord in all things. I pray that he would continue to watch over you. I pray that he would always guide and direct you. But first, you must go to him and ask for that guidance and direction and that discernment. And he will, as he has promised, give you all those things which are good for you. Those things which you need to know and the direction that you need to go. Whether we are to stay here or whether we are to move on, whatever it might be. The Lord will let you know, but we have to pray earnestly, always to him, and recognize that he is in charge. He is looking out for each one of our interests, our best interests, that which will be the best for us at this time, every day. And that's why we need to call upon him every day, because every day things are a little bit different. Call upon him for strength and courage, and he will continue to abide with you and bless you. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we have come together this day, in remembrance of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and partaken of the bread and the wine, we do not take it lightly, Father, for we do recognize the gift which you have given unto us, that perfect example of how we are to act and to live our lives. And we know, Father, that it is through him that all things are possible. I pray that we are even thinking of that very day when we walked into the waters of baptism, Father, and made that covenant with thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we would follow him and take upon us his name, that as Christians we would go forth a more righteous people. I pray, Father, continued watch, care, and protection, even this day, for all my brothers and sisters. I pray that you would be with those who have lost loved ones, those who are sick and in need, those with bruised and broken hearts, that we all might come together to thee with a contrite spirit, Father, humbly before thee always, daily, recognizing thy greatness. For all the glory is thine, Father. We thank you for your grace and mercy, and pray continued watch care over each one of us. And I do pray this in the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ, as a servant of thine and thy people. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters.